prayer and just kind of get our thinking going in the right direction. I know there's a myriad of thoughts and distractions in our minds. Let's ask God to just take those away for right now. Father God, thank you for your word today. Thank you, dear God, that you allow us, dear God, to come and worship you, to sing your praises, Lord, to just verbalize the words of scripture, Lord, and song, Lord, that just lift us up from the downs that we live in almost day to day. Father God, I just pray that you would just work in our hearts and in our minds. I pray, Lord, that you would take away the distractions. And I pray, dear God, that you would just give us clarity of thought now. Help us in our communication, Lord, not just the speaking, but the hearing. And I pray, dear God, that you would just really change our hearts. I pray, Lord, today that we would leave this place, Lord, with anticipation, Lord, and expectation about the heavenly home, the new heaven and the new earth, Lord, that we have that's created for us. Lord, just work in us today, I pray, Lord. Just help our understanding. And, Lord, we thank you. Thank you for all the things that you're going to do now. We just ask it in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. So take out your Bibles, if you would, today. And we are going to go over to the book of 2 Peter, chapter 3. And we are going to begin a series, probably going to be about 10 weeks. We're going to look at this idea of heaven on my mind. And, you know, we're going to begin this morning as we stop and think about that just for a second. The tagline there is kind of helpful. Knowing Jesus, growing in his grace and knowledge, and longing for our eternal home. And I want to just begin this morning. I will kind of give you a couple of thoughts to kind of dig in on that. Today we want to think about this idea. And I know for a lot of us, we're not really thinking this way. Looking forward with knowledge, confidence, and anticipation about eternity. And I hope that's something that we can get a better grasp on as we think about it today. And I want to throw this thought out for you guys as we stop and think about it. It often seems like even God's people don't know much about our eternal home. And as I kind of, Pastor Anson and I kind of reading and studying and thinking about this, it's probably one of the topics that there's not that much written about. There's a few things, but not a lot. Preachers don't talk about it. We're really focused on what? The here and now. And by the way, sometimes that's good, but if that's our only focus, man, that can really drag us down. And we need to think about that. So we're going to continue to, as we think about this thought, we don't think about our eternal home, really even long for it, like desire for it. How many people have had a vacation so far? You may have a vacation. Raise your hand. Vacation. Jim and Sherry, you're on vacation. You came here, right? Praise God, right? You know, vacation, right? Yeah, you guys just got back, right? Myrtle Beach, right? Whether it was cool or warm, it was probably both. You guys told me about. It was good to get away, right? And you know that anticipation of going on a trip. That's like half the fun, isn't it? You know, you're thinking about, man, look at this beautiful place. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. And like, you are like enjoying it before you even get there. And then a lot of times, hopefully, you're enjoying it after you leave, right? And that's how heaven ought to be with us. So we're going to take a look at God's word today, and we are going to find out how we can have a more confident and joyous hope and great anticipation about what God has prepared for us. All right, so we're gonna dig in and kind of think about that today. The eternal truth I want to leave with us, you know, as you guys are here today, maybe for the first time or first time in a long time, is this. This is, by the way, the thought. This is what we want to camp on. This is what we're going to hopefully walk away with. You know, us as believers in Jesus Christ, we can look forward with great anticipation and great expectation. And let me say why I say expectation. You know, God didn't create some mediocre place for us. Yeah, you ever travel somewhere? I'll share a funny story. On our honeymoon, right? By the way, it's a couple years ago, 38 years ago this year, right? But I still have memories of it. You know, it's good, and it's been a great 38 years. But on our honeymoon, we went to this island. It's called Bonaire. Anybody hear Bonaire before? It's by Aruba. Anybody heard of Aruba? You heard of Aruba, right? It's by Aruba. And in that day, we like to scuba dive. In fact, we got certified on our honeymoon to scuba dive, and we dove like 100 times in our lifetime, all different beautiful places. But we went to Bonaire. So we got there late in Bonaire, and as we came into the hotel, it's right on the beach. So we had all this dreams of like this amazing place. We got there, and the first thing we met were there were lizards on the wall right outside our door. By the way, how many people been to Florida, right? You've seen lizards, they're about this big. Well, in Bonaire, they're about this big. Seriously. They're like humongous, right? And they're running all over, kind of like squirrels. They're everywhere, right? And we get into our honeymoon suite, and right by our bed is one of those citronella candles to keep the mosquitoes away. And Jane just like walked in and she said, ooh. But praise God, 38 years later, we're still going strong. The room was a little rough, but the rest of it was great. It was great, right? So I say that to say this about heaven. I think sometimes we have this idea about heaven. It's going to be boring. It's not going to be this place that, we're really going to enjoy. Our needs aren't going to be met. We're not quite sure what's going to happen. Maybe we won't know our loved ones. We're worried about that. No, 1,000 times no, right? We can look forward to heaven with great expectation and anticipation about what God is doing, right? And I want to just kind of center our thoughts for a second. And I'll ask this as a question. Anybody caught up in the rat race? Anybody not caught up in the rat race, right? Yeah, Jim and Sherry's time. I'm enjoying retirement, right? Well, it feels like the rat race is just going on, right? We're running, we're doing all these crazy things, right? But we are so caught up in the rat race of life and living for and trying to make it today that eternity seldom has a place in our thinking and our contemplation. You think that's true? Yeah, amen? It's kind of true, right? We think about it sometimes, maybe at church. We think about when somebody dies. We think about it in those tough times. But it's not something that's on our mind a lot. It's seldom taught and even less frequently grasped and sought. And we're going to try and change that, as we go through the next 10 weeks, that we would be just more equipped as believers with just a great outlook about what God has prepared for us. So we're going to kind of dive in and think about that this morning. So I want to ask you guys a couple of questions. I want to talk about our journey together so far, and then I want to look forward just to kind of get us thinking and introducing this idea. So here's a couple of questions I want you guys thinking about. Here's one. Has the promise of heaven captured your imagination? A little bit, right? And I'll put this out. If you're over 50, has the promise of heaven captured your imagination? Right? If you're under 50, has the promise of heaven captured your imagination? Maybe not so much, right? Do you think often about heaven and eternity? And if you're over 50, over 60, over 70, you're saying, praise God. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Amen. Thank you for saying that, right? Are you looking forward to heaven? And I throw this out. Do you understand what eternity will be like? Those are some questions, right, we kind of want to think about today. And by the way, I want to say this, and I was going to ask you to do this, but you worked too hard already today. But in the back, there's a box, and it has like a picture that of those tulips on it, and it's for questions that you guys have about heaven. And Pastor Anthony and I, we're going to try in the next 10 weeks to try to answer those questions to the best we can in a biblical way. We're going to try to address those questions. So if you're thinking about a question right now, some of you guys are going, man, will my dog be in heaven? By the way, I love my dog. We got a new dog, but the old dog was really, really good. The new dog is like, we got a new dog. I told you the story, got a new dog, and they told us he's an adoption. So he's a rescue, right? And they said, he's crate trained. He does all these things. He spent like 3 hours in the crate the last 3 months, and all he did was cry and scream and bark. So guess where he sleeps? In our bed, right? So I hope Buddy's in heaven, Jane. We have those kind of questions in our mind, right? what's it going to be like? And we want to try to address that. So I want to encourage you, email the church office, call the church office, call us, email us, text us, or write it down on a card, on a bulletin. There's little cards out there, colorful cards right on top of the box. Throw them in the box, and we're going to try to answer those questions. And I'm kind of making light of the pet thing. Yeah, by the way, when you lose a pet, doesn't it hurt? It's like they're part of the family. They really are. So those are questions that we all wrestle with. Death is something we struggle with, right? No matter how old or how young someone is, it's a struggle. So we want to talk about those things and kind of be clear. And I want to talk about this for a second. By the way, this was yesterday, and I praise God. We went on a trip down to the Cape May Zoo. Jim and Sherry, we're still doing Cape May Zoo almost every year. Last year, we missed it somehow, but we're doing the Cape May Zoo every year. So, you know, we have been on a lot of journeys as a church family. And, I said I've been, married 38 years. I've been kind of doing ministry stuff at church and driving buses and going places with you guys for like 38 years, right? And Mr. Long, if I wasn't driving, I was driving with Mr. Long, right? 38 years. We've been a lot of places. You know, we've been to Ohio, Maine, Canada. You know, we've been to Word of Life a million times. We've been everywhere. We've been down the Jersey Shore. We've been to Lancaster. We've been a lot of places. And that's been our journey thus far. But you know what? I love kind of being the tour guide and sharing the excitement, enthusiasm about where we're going to go and what we're going to enjoy and the things that we're going to see. But you know what? If we miss heaven, we'll just have memories of a lot of good times. But the most important thing won't be there. Does that make sense? And I want us to kind of think about that, today, right? We gotta focus, right? That's our eternal home. We don't want to miss that. And we don't even want to miss thinking about it and having that great anticipation and expectation as we head that direction, right? So looking forward, I want to share this thought with you guys today. Hopefully, what we're going to try to do is increase our understanding. And by the way, that includes me and Pastor Ansu, too, because we do not know it all about heaven or anything else for that matter. But we want to increase our understanding. We want to increase our trust in the Lord. And we want to increase our anticipation and expectation about what God has for us. And I'll throw this out. Here's an ancillary thought on that. It goes along with that. You know what? If we really get excited about heaven, I don't know about you, but I'm going to be wanting to tell somebody else about it too. It's going to increase our ability to share the good news of the gospel. Like the word gospel means good news. But it seems like that we're so clammed up about the good news. And we're talking about every other issue politically, but we got to talk about the good news, which surpasses everything else, right? So we got to think about that as we look forward. So I want to share a thought. And guys, get this in your mind about heaven as we dig into heaven this morning. Understand this. Heaven is not going to be exactly the way me and you think. So this principle that was given in the book of Isaiah the prophet, I want you guys to understand this. It's so critical as a foundation, right? That Isaiah said this. He said this about God. And God quoted God. He said, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts." This is God talking, right? "Nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So I want us to understand, as we think about heaven, heaven's not going to be your man cave, right? It also is not going to be your woman's cave. I don't know, do women have caves? Some of you guys are going, amen. My wife likes to sew, and her cave, it just keeps moving around my house. It's been in, like, I don't know how many different rooms. As the kids moved out, I think that's going to be my sewing room. Then they come back, and, or they sleep over, or this happens. It keeps changing. But, we all have those places that we like to hang out in, right? Man, it's the garage. Pastor Ansley got a hot cave in the garage, by the way. Big screen and everything, right, Pastor Ansley, right? But, heaven's probably not going to be that, right? But it's going to be amazing. It's going to far surpass your garage, bro. It's going to far surpass your man cave and your woman cave. But it's so important. He says, "For as the heavens are higher than earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts." So I want you guys to keep that in mind. As we think about heaven, it's probably going to kind of blow our minds. And there's a verse, I could give you 1,000 verses. I'm not going to give them all today. There's a verse in the book of 1 Corinthians that says this. It says, "Eye has not seen or ear heard the wonderful things that God has created for those who love him." So it's a little bit beyond our understanding, but God gives us like a real good taste of it so we can look forward to getting there. But understand, it's not going to be exactly what we think. So let's dig in. So we're going to go to the book of 2 Peter. And I'll just share one last thing before we dig in hard into the text. We actually have 4 books that you guys could get a hold of. We're looking at one that we'll probably give you, right? And it's called Heaven, A Place, A City, A Home. It's just a good little reference. By the way, it's about 40 pages. There's another book. It's called, and if you went to Word of Life, I think Mr. Long, you might remember this book. We had Erwin Lutzer as a teacher one time. He's the pastor of Moody Church. And it's called 1 Minute After You Die, which, by the way, is the title of Pastor Andrew's message next Sunday. So 1 Minute After You Die. Yeah, please come. Please come. Please come. Yeah, please come to church. And then there's another book this is a tall order. This book is slightly under 500 pages. It's probably the biggest resource on heaven that exists in print today. But I encourage it. It's by a guy named Randy Alcorn. But if anybody wants to get one of those, see us. We'll have a list next week, and you guys can order some of those if you want to. But they're really, really good and really, really helpful in this way. So I just encourage you guys to think about that. So let's dig in. 2 Peter chapter 3. We want to start right at the beginning. So 3 things I want you guys to get a hold of as we dive into 2 Peter. And by the way, everybody look up for a sec. Peter, right? Is he the most brilliant of the apostles? Is he known for his brilliance, his study? Is he known for that? What's he known for? Usually taking his foot out of his mouth after we talked about this. He corrected Jesus. He said, "No, Jesus, you're not going to be killed." Right? He stood up to Jesus. He's usually known more for his impetuousness, his lack of thought, his lack of self-control. But here's the deal. You know what? And there's hope for all of us, because some of us, I know I'm like that a little bit too. Guess what? Later on in life, he really knew the Lord Jesus Christ and understood what it meant to follow him. Right? So that's the book we're looking at to kind of kick this series off this morning. So we want to dive into 2 Peter chapter 1. And I want you guys to kind of get this in your mind, or chapter 3. He actually says this right up front. What is the purpose of him writing this? And he's writing about the eternity and about heaven. There's a problem going on, and it's called doubt and deception. We're going to look at that. And then there's a point that he makes that, by the way, if you don't get anything else out of the message today, take that point with you. And we'll talk about what that is. So we're going to jump in right off the bat and take a look at that. And here's the first thing. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. And look what the purpose he says this. He says, "Beloved." And he writes to us, by the way, as a church, people that he loves. And by the way, you know when you come out to church, isn't it just great to kind of get together? Like Jim and Sherry, they walked in the door. I was like, "What? What are y'all doing here?" And I was going to give Jim a high five. And he just gave me a great big old Jim Devine bear hug. Right? That's the love we have. And Peter writes this. He says, "Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, this second letter," because by the way, there's a 1 Peter before 2 Peter, and he says, "in which, both of which, I stir up your pure minds, by a way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us and the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust." And I want to stop and I want to say this. Let's get a thought what he says here. For number 1, everybody look up. Peter writes this book as a reminder. And I want to throw this out. Here's why he's reminding us. Because we get so caught up in everything else in our lives, we forget that we have a heaven we're going to go to. We have a perfect place. And by the way, it's not just a heaven, and we're going to learn this more. We have a new heaven and a new earth that God has prepared for us. And we'll look at this in a minute. And it says, where righteousness dwells. And I know, as I look at the world, I haven't found that place on earth. There's a lot of pretty places, but righteousness is not dwelling there real well, right? So he says this. He says, I want to remind you about those things. Look what he says in verse 2. He says, that you might be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets. You know, sometimes in our day, we kind of forget about the Old Testament. Maybe we don't read as faithfully as we need to. We're not as focused on what God is doing. We're so caught up in that rat race and the things of this life and all the challenges, we forget those things. And he says, I want to remind you and I want you to be mindful of these things, of the words that were spoken by God's mouthpieces all the way back. Be reminded of those things. And by the way, notice what he says. Look at verse 3. And I kind of put a couple points at the bottom. Be mindful, write it down, of what God has promised and said. You know what? All kinds of things are happening on this earth. We've never seen oil this high. We've never seen the craziness that we see on this earth. But guess what? Be mindful of what God has promised. A lot of things have been shaken up on earth. The earth is shaken. God's not shaken at all. Be mindful of what God has promised and said. And notice what he says next. He says, knowing this first, knowing that God said some things that are really good and really important, knowing that, he says this, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust. I'm not going to give you references to people that you might know today, but just look at our world. Look at our world, right? The Pope said it. I'm not going to analogize to our president or someone else, but he said, There's a number of high, powerful, rich people that are throwing the world into a place of uproar right now. Is that true? I think, amen. I think it's true, right? It's true, right? But he says, be mindful of that. He says, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days walking according to their own lust. And I want you guys to understand, what's a scoffer? Well, I don't use that word too much in our current vocabulary. He says, remember, there's going to be false teachers, doubters of God and mockers of God, right? And they're going to come upon us and they're going to try to manipulate us based on what they want and what they're trying to accomplish, their own lust. They're out there, right? And by the way, they're going to do this. They're going to take away our hope. Or they're going to cause us to take our hope off of what is true and what is going to happen and put it someplace else where we can't rely on it. And that's kind of what he's saying. And we're kind of seeing some of that, you know, those rumblings in our world, right? So get this problem, he says, and saying, here's the questions that these people are going to ask. They're going to say, well, where is the promise of his coming? In other words, they're not saying, where's the promise? They're saying, we heard the promise, but we don't see the result. In other words, remember Jesus said he's going to come back, right? Even at the end of the book of Revelation, he says this, he says, surely I come quickly. Well, where's he at? People are going to say, where is the Lord? He hasn't come back. He hasn't changed anything. Life is still a mess. The earth is crazy. What is going on? They're going to say these things. Where is the promise of his coming? He says, for since the fathers fell asleep, and he says fathers, he means the Old Testament prophets, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. And you may have heard that, this idea of, you know, all things being the same, right? And that drives theories like evolution. That, you know, we have to have a really old, like billions of years Earth, because the things that are talked about, like in evolution, could not happen without that, or even still can't happen with that, right? But he says, all these things continue as they were. But look at this. He says, for this they willfully forget that by the word of God, the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. Yeah. And here's what he's saying, right? Let's just kind of simplify that thought. There's a lot of words. Here's what he's trying to say. These people, these scoffers about God and about eternity and about what God has planned, you know what they're going to say? they're going to say, you know, God made this promise, you know, more than 2,000 years ago. Nothing's happened. Everything's just the same. And here's what he says. Peter says this, but he says, you know what? When I look back at the book of Genesis, and I read Genesis chapter 6 and chapter 7, and I hear about this Noahic flood. I say Noahic, you call it about Noah, right? Look what happened. He says the earth what completely perished except for 8 people. And it was totally flooded with water. Now I want to ask you guys a question. Do you think most people believe that's true? Or is that just a really cool story? What do you think they think? Christians think it's true. Most of the world denies it's true. And I'll throw a place out. Talk about beautiful places to visit, right? The Grand Canyon. How did that happen? How did that happen? And by the way, I actually kind of studied this. I had to study this in Bible college. The reason we know there was a flood is because the layers of the dirt are not in order. Like the older things are not on the bottom. They're up toward the top. Like this whole thing. Something disheveled this whole situation to make it be what we do not expect. And by the way, remember what we just read about in Isaiah 55? God's ways are higher than our ways, right? You know, and his thoughts are not our thoughts, right? So we see that. So Peter says, you know, don't get deceived by these people because they really don't get it. Although when we hear them on the news, when we see them, you know, publish books, it seems like they're the experts and they shake our faith. He says, don't let that happen. But look what he says. He says, but the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. And here's the point I want us to get a hold of, right? So, you know, back in the day they had these, they called them hellfire preachers. Remember heard those before? Right? Remember those? You're like, if you don't get saved, you're going to go to hell. If you leave this room and you die, you're going to burn, right? Turn or burn was the message, right? By the way, it's kind of a good message still. But I want to say this to you guys, right? There will always be doubters, always. But the day of the Lord is coming. The day of the Lord is coming. And guys, break this down in your notes. I want you, again, this is not just me spouting stuff off. I want you to kind of get this in your minds and your heart. The day of the Lord, right, it's talked about in the Old Testament. It's talked about in the New Testament. Here's what the day of the Lord is. The day of the Lord is the unveiling of God's wrath on sinful humanity. But it is the day of deliverance for all those who have put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's awfully sad and it's awfully good at the same time. Again, my ways are not your ways, right? My thoughts are not your thoughts. That's how God works, right? The day of the Lord is coming. So we have to understand that this idea, this doubt and deception. Next thing I wanted to gotta get a hold of this is the point about God's promises. Right? Some of you guys may be saying, boy, I'm getting a little bit tired. Yeah, I get it. We don't sit down in the whole week till we sit in church, and then what happens? Right? We know how it goes, right? All of us, right? We know how it goes, right? Even pastors, right? You know, it happens to me too sometimes. Guy, it happens to you, right? Pastor Ansu? Pastor Ansu's running all the time. One time I was preaching, I saw him. He was nodding a little bit. Maybe he was praying. He might have been praying, but I'm not sure, right? But, And it's happened to me. He hasn't called me out yet, but now he will. But you know how it goes, right? But the point about God's promise that we want to understand is this. Look what he says. He says, but beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. So right, you know, you can translate that. God is not in a rush. You and me are. God's not in a rush, right? Says the, and by the way, here's the point. I put it in bold for you. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises. You know how people say, you're a slackard or you're a sluggard or you know, those things, right? God does not promise what God does not deliver on. So he said, understand, this is true. He says, as some count slackness, but get this in your mind. The reason why God hasn't just come back on the day of the Lord and wiped out all the sinful people, you know why? Because God loves the world. You know, John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." God loves the whole world, and God is making a way for the whole world to be saved if they put their faith and trust in Christ. Right? He's not in a hurry to bring about his justice and his judgment. You know, he's not the hanging judge, or he's not like the judges that we think about that we don't like. God keeps all of his promises, and God is merciful and full of grace toward us, and that's why he's patient. And he's patient because we're hard-headed. Let me say, you guys, just see, you know, I don't want you guys to go out and say, you know, I went to church and the pastor insulted me. So let me say this. God's patient because I'm hard-headed. Right? And you guys might say, yeah, I'm a little bit like Pastor Gary. Right? But that's the deal. God keeps all of his promises, and God is merciful. So we kind of understand this is kind of how this book gets started, how this idea gets going about eternity, right? So I want us to look at the next thing, which is this. You know, as man, we seek God's promises. By the way, there's not a person I could go out on the street and interview. They might even believe in God. I said, would you want to go to heaven? Would you want to be in an eternal paradise? Everyone's like, yes, right? Man seeks God's promises. So we're going to just dive into that. We're going to talk about the day of the Lord briefly. The disease we all got called mortality, the deliberations that take place in our minds, the thinking and the questioning. And then there's a declaration I want you guys to get a hold of this afternoon. And here it is, right? So the day of the Lord. Remember we just talked about the day of the Lord? And I want you guys to get this in your minds. Look what it says. The day of the Lord will come as a what? Say it with me. A thief in the night. So I want you guys to all figure this out. How does the thief in the night come? How does he come? Does he email you, hey, by the way, leave the door open on Saturday night at 11? No, right? Does he call you first? No. Does he ring the doorbell? Not typically, right? You know, he doesn't announce, he doesn't see you in advance. So the day of the Lord is going to come what? By surprise. It's going to come when we least expect it. So we got to understand that the day of the Lord, and by the way, repeat it back to me so we're making sure what we're getting this picture, right? The day of the Lord is all about what? God's judgment and punishment on all those who have rejected him, but God's salvation and deliverance for all those who have their faith and trust in him. That's the day of the Lord, right? So when you hear the day of the Lord, now we get what that's all about. Punishment and judgment, deliverance, and man, God's grace is just shown in that thing, right? So we want to understand that. So he says it's going to come like a thief in the night by surprise. And look what he says, by the way. Look what God says about our earth. He says, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise. You know, it sounds almost like that tornado-y sound or something, right? It'll pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. And I've heard people say this, you know, it sounds a little bit like a nuclear type of event, right? I don't know if it will be, but it sounds a little bit like that's kind of what we're thinking about right here in our minds from our context. And he says, both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. And I know some of you guys are going, dag, I just got that really nice new Mercedes. Enjoy it while you're here, but it's not eternal, right? You know, whatever you got, if you got a Mercedes, you got a Honda, you got a Chevrolet, whatever you got, but it's not going to last forever. And by the way, maybe he's got a nice new home. Going to be gone, right? All of it's going to be gone. And I want you guys to understand what's happening here. God, remember he used the flood to completely cleanse the world of Genesis chapter 6 and 7. Completely cleanse. He said, remember he said, the thought of every person was only evil continually. Right? And by, you know, you might say, it seemed like that disease came back. Right? It seems like that's what we see pervasively, right? But so God used the flood to cleanse the world, you know, largely, and he saved 8 people. And right after they got off the boat, what happened? They gave God a sacrifice, and then they sinned. It's like, wow. Because the problem was what? In our hearts, right? But God used the flood to do that. And then, remember, by the way, we see a rainbow. God talks about the rainbow in the book of Genesis. What was that all about? What was the rainbow about? It's a promise of God that he would never do what? Destroy the earth by what? By water again. So there's going to be, like, you know, localized flooding. We see that at times, right? But we're never going to see a global flood that will destroy the earth and wipe off the face of earth everything else. We're never going to see that. But we are going to see fire. And the purpose, I want you guys to get this in your minds, heaven and earth will be burned with fire, but I want you to think of it this way, but not fully destroyed. And you're going like, huh, what does he mean by that? And it's going to be prepared for God's people. I want you to think of it this way. How many folks, you know, when people buy a house and flip it, or there's a flood and the sheetrock gets damaged, what do they do? Anybody know? They tear the house down. Chris would know about this, right, Chris? You tear the house down to where? Right to the studs, right? And you know, in like corporate America, the studs tend to be metal in like bigger buildings, but they tend to be wood in all of our houses, right? Right? So they tear them down. It tears it down. So what's happening is that God's fire is going to wipe everything off the earth, but the structural pieces of earth and heaven are going to be there. And God is going to, like, rebirth them, renew them in a way that we won't even recognize. But God's, because I'll throw this back. Do you remember what God said at the end of creation? When he looked at his creation, what did God say? He said, it's good. And then at the very end, he said, it's very good. He says, very good, right? So God's going to, that very good part, that structural piece is going to stay, and all the stuff that got built on top is going to be gone. And that's what's going to happen at the day of the Lord, right? And guess what? God is going to build back. By the way, thankfully, God's not going to build like most of the contractors we know. It's not going to take eternity to build it back. I'm thinking about Mitchell and Wazir J, right? They're waiting for their house to be built. I hope you guys aren't too old by the time you move in, right? I mean, it's like unbelievable, right? But God is going to build it back like so quick, and it's going to be perfect. And it's going to be the place that the saints will inhabit, the new heaven and the new earth and Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem. And we read about that in Revelation 21. And we'll stay tuned. We'll talk about that. But that's the day of the Lord. It's going to take place. And I want you guys to kind of get a hold of this. Look what he says next. And this is actually sort of an aside to this passage. Remembering, why is this important? We all have a terminal disease. Everybody. We all got one, right? And you know what it is? We're human. We're mortal. And you know, animals have it. Plants have it. Everything on earth has this mortality, this corruptibility. And we looked at this passage over on Easter, right? But look what God says. He said, this I say, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So just understand, right, that what we got here, and some of you guys are saying, but, you know, I'm working out. You know, I'm looking pretty good. You know, we're all trying to do that, right? Jim, you said it today, right? You said, you know, a lot of your friends going to the gym, they said, you know, we're going to die healthy, baby. Right? And that's okay, because we are going to die. And it's okay if we can do more stuff, being a little bit healthier, but this earth suit, not going to heaven like this, right? Not going to go that way, right? And he says, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. In other words, naturally, we're not going to be incorruptible. Naturally, we're not going to be immortal. And he says, you know, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Praise God. God's going to change this body. I like parts of it. Some parts I don't like. You know, right? You know, and y'all say the same thing, right? I used to like my hair, but somebody took it away. You know, we all got things that we don't like about it. And praise God, right? God is going to renew it, and he's going to cure the terminal condition of mortality. Amen, right? That's a real amen, right? Yeah. Amen, right? Praise God, right? And we go back, take that back from me real fast if you would there. I can tie myself. Boom, here it goes. That's why eternal life is so important. Because the death rate for humanity is 100%. Think about that. There's nobody that gets out alive. Nobody. And that's why God, you know, new heaven and new earth looking real good, right? Here's some questions. I want you guys to think about this for a second because, you know, Peter, by the way, he got really wise. As he grew in the Lord Jesus Christ, he asked some good stuff. He really became a different person like God does with us. Look what he said. He says, therefore, based on all the things we just said about our mortality, about God's judgment, our deliverance from that, he says, since all these things will be dissolved, burned up, right? What manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? I want to stop for a second. Just kind of dwell on that just for a quick second. Kind of a temporary sort of application, not just anticipating heaven, but, you know, knowing that all of our stuff is going to be burned up. And by the way, you can pass it on to your kids. Although, sadly, most of our kids, when we die, they're going to bring the dumpster right to the driveway and get rid of most things that we have, right? You may have a storage facility. They'll take the dumpster over there next and clean that out too, right? But that's the way we ought to live. We ought to live with a loose grip on all the junk that we collect in this life. And some of that stuff, like, you know, it's like it's so important to us, but at the end of the day, it's going to be gone. Does that mean don't wash your car, don't cut your grass? No, but don't make that your God. Right? Even your job. Your job is really important. Don't make that your God. It's not going to be here too long, right? Now, and that's what he says here. He says, therefore, thinking about these things, how should that change the way we think? And I want to encourage us, right, and sort of not just anticipating heaven, but living life today. It should focus us on what is really, really important. And that's eternal things. And if we keep that as our main focus and main goal, it's going to cause us to order our life in a way that is good, in a way that's solid, in a way that's eternal. So I just want to encourage us on that. So how should the day of the Lord change our, and I forgot to put it there, life? And that's how, right? So we're going to move right along. Here's this declaration. This one I want you guys to get a hold of. This kind of just whets our appetite for where we're going. Look what he says. I like this word, nevertheless. So he's like, yeah, all that's going to happen. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. And that's why I want to kind of, in a sense, leave us today. We want to leave this place, right, looking for that new heaven and that new earth. The studs were the same, but the rest is magnificent, right? And by the way, we will inhabit the earth. We will rule and reign on the earth. So, you know, everyone says, I'm going to die and go to heaven. True, the present heaven, if you die today, that's where you'll be as a believer in Christ, absent from the body, present with the Lord. But God is going to take that heaven and even make it more magnificent in the days ahead. That's what we want to kind of grip, right? Amen. That's we should feel good about that, right? By the way, anybody go, man, my home is looking old and, you know, I need to get some renovations and it kind of gets me down. This is broke and it doesn't work. You know what? Praise God. You are going to have a home that is unbelievable. Unbelievable, right? And just notice, he says, this is our hope and our desire. And notice a new heaven and a new earth. And we're going to study that in depth. And Revelation 21, 1 to 7 says this. He says, you know, I, John, he saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the old earth was what? Had all passed away. And there was no more sea, right? Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And you guys are planning that wedding, Roger J, right? You're gonna be looking good that day, right? Everything is going to be covered, right? Everything, right? And that's kind of the point. That's how heaven will be. Like, God's not going to miss a trick. God's not going to miss anything, right? And that's what he wants us to understand. And that's what we want to focus our energy and our thoughts on. So here's the thought. Man responds to God's promises. And here's kind of the application of this whole thing as we kind of wrap this up, right? Remember the context. I want you guys to consider this, right? The context is what? A lot of false teaching. If we go around our world today, everyone's just, we're doing a really good job as humanity getting each other all down, 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 down. Right? Taking away all of our hope. That's where we are, right? That was the same context that Peter talked about, right? False teaching. And look what he says here. And this is important. He says, therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot, and blameless. So I want to ask you guys a question, right? As you know, you guys are Bible students, right? We all are. You know, sometimes they call us Bible teachers. We're just kind of like Bible students that have learned, and now we get to share with you guys, right? But here's the deal, right? He says, be diligent, like be ready to be found by him in peace, without spot, and blameless. Let me ask you a question. Are they ever going to find me without spot and blameless on my own? No way. Right? And what, you know what that means? Make sure you are in Christ. Because he's the only way you're going to be without spot and blameless. Make sure, right? And by the way, you may have been in church all your life and you never really put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ. You know, you like it, you love the people, you love whatever's going on, but Jesus is the real reason we're here. Right? And he's the only one that saves us, right? The Bible, remember, we just mentioned John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever believes, really trusts in him, but will not perish but have everlasting life. So make sure, he said, be diligent about that. Make sure you're really ready for heaven. Like, we don't want to be celebrating going to heaven and not have a ticket, right? We got to be ready. And he says, and consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. I want to encourage you guys, you know, maybe we have family members, kids, friends that aren't saved. Praise God, he is long-suffering, and he is the reason for salvation for them. A lot of us want to say, God, just take me out of here. But if he takes me out of here, he might leave some of those behind. That's why God's timing is perfect, and God's long-suffering allows them to get saved. Right? And then he continues, he says, as also our beloved brother Paul, another New Testament writer, right? According to the wisdom given to him from God, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them these things, which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also in the rest of Scripture. Right? And we got it, right? People look at the Bible and go, no one's gonna believe that. Right? But hang on to that. Think about this. Hang on to that and make sure you're ready today, right? Make sure you're ready. He says next, he says, be steadfast and persevering. He says, you therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness. You know what he means by that? Steadfast, you guys ever hear that phrase, that person is stubborn? You know what? Stubborn is good in one place, in your faith. Don't let anyone shake up your faith. God is not late. God is not slow. God is right on time and right on schedule, and he is going to do what he needs to do for us, right? Persevere. Brief illustration. I want you guys to get this in your minds. It was in the book. It's not mine. I wish it was mine. It's really good. There was a swimmer, and I can't pull the name off the top of my head, but there was a swimmer. She had swam the English Channel, right, multiple times. Came over to America, tried to swim from the island of Catalina to the California coast. Anybody familiar? There's a bunch of, they're called the Channel Islands, they're off of California. And they're not super far from from the California coast. So guess what? Everyone thought she would do it. She would make it. Turned out that the day she went to swim that distance between Catalina and the California coast, it was foggy. She's out there in the water. You know, she had her lifeboat there with her, making sure she didn't drown or anything bad happened to her. She's swimming along and swimming along and swimming along and can't see the destination. Can't see it. And she's getting more discouraged by the second. Continuing to swim. She could easily do it. But guess what? She gave up. The boat came. She didn't drown, thank God. The boat came, picked her up. It turned out when the boat brought her back, she was just a short distance away from the shore. And I say that to say this when it comes to perseverance. If we don't have the vision of where we're going and an understanding of what heaven really is and the new heaven and the new earth is, in the mess and the trials of this world, we might give up. And that's why I want to encourage you guys, and it takes us right to our last point, which is this. We got to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as I read this, by the way, I love this verse. I preached on this passage a million times. I never thought about the fact that that knowledge isn't just salvation, isn't just prophecy, isn't just the Old Testament, New Testament stuff that we all like to talk about, but it's a knowledge of the heaven and the new earth where we are going. And I want to encourage us today, and that's kind of the purpose of this message, as we work through the next like 9 weeks or so, I want us to really, let's really grow in the knowledge and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ so that we don't give up just a little way from the shore. Does that make sense? I hope that's where we want to go. Heaven and eternity are not frequently spoken about or discussed or preached in our churches. We must grow in our knowledge of this area so much. And I encourage you, get the book, come to church, let's talk about it, throw out your questions, encourage each other. Man, where we're going is an awesome place. And that's my question, right? Are you ready? Are you ready? Right? And by the way, you can only say you are if Jesus Christ is your Savior. Otherwise, you are not ready. You are ticketless. You have no boarding pass, and they're not letting you through security. Seriously, right? It's not going to work. If Jesus is the only way, and faith in him, real faith in him is the answer, right? Not your mother's faith, your grandmother's faith, your father's faith, but your faith, right? And hopefully, are you looking forward with anticipation? And hopefully, as we go through this week by week by week, our anticipation and expectation of what God's going to do is going to grow, and it's going to fuel our perseverance as we live on this earth. Amen? We're going to close with a word of prayer, and our praise team's coming up. Father God, thanks for your word. Lord, it just teaches us and tells us so much. Lord God, work in our hearts, Lord, that we might really grasp, Lord, what our future is. Father, thank you, dear God, that you loved us enough to give us that hope, to give us that future, and to give us the truth and the teaching, Lord, that will back that up. Father, work in our hearts today. Lord, if there's anyone here today that really doesn't have the ticket by knowing Jesus, Father God, help them just to make themselves known, Lord, that we could help them make sure, Lord, and solidify the fact that they're on their way to this awesome place that you've created. Lord, for the rest of us, give us hope and perseverance. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Join us as we sing the hymn, When We All Get to Heaven.
Amen, right? So guess what? Our prayer is we all get there. And by the way, you're in control of that part, because if Jesus is not your Savior personally, you're not going to get there. Right? So I encourage you, if there's anybody here, you're kind of unsure, questioning, please grab me or Pastor Ansu. Grab Deacon Jonathan in the back. Grab one of our deacons. Grab your neighbor and say, you know what? I'm so glad I came here. Will you help me? And if they can't help you, they'll get someone who can, and it might be us or it might be someone else. But find out for sure, right?
Amen.
And the second thing is, you know what? That was a pretty rousing song. By the way, Pastor Ansu's song about, man, I can only imagine. That was really rousing. Can you imagine when we really get there? It will be unbelievable.
Amen.
Rosemary may be the choir director there. I don't know.
Amen.
We were kidding around about that in staff this week. You know, because it's hard getting it all together sometimes. But in heaven, we're going to get it together, and we're going to praise God for what he's given us. If you're a visitor today, we want to dismiss you right now, because Deacon John's in the back. We have a gift for you, and we'd love to give it to you guys. Don't feel embarrassed. We're so glad you're here. We just want to encourage you to see Deacon Jonathan in the back in the little conference room. We have a little gift, and we just love to get to know you just a little bit better. And for the rest of you guys, have a great week. If you're a part of our ministry leaders, we have a brief meeting today back in 20 and 21. And for the rest of you guys, we just pray that God will go with you this week. And let's look forward to the great things that God is going to do. But let's prepare ourselves as we get ready for that day. And let's try to bring as many people as we can with us on the journey. Amen?
Amen.
Pastor Ansu, would you pray us out?
Let's pray. Eternal Father, thank you, Lord, that your word speaks truth. And prepared our hearts and ourselves, oh God, for heaven. Lord, as we go, may we have that mindset that, Lord, when we get to heaven, what a glorious day is going to be. Lord, but help us, oh God, to prepare ourselves for that day. Because only prepared people are going to be in heaven. And we just thank you, Lord. Guide us, carry us through, and bring us back again, Lord, on Sunday, where you will be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.